Matthew Leckie puts Australia into the quarterfinals.
That is a magnificent goal by Owen Mabil.
Oh, Matty Ryan, wow! Keeping it out of the top corner like Superman.
Hello and welcome to the Socceroos podcast, where we go one-on-one with your favourite players to keep you connected with the Socceroos. My name is Michael Puttaflam. On the latest episode, we chat with Socceroo cap number 600, Ryan Grant. There's few players with more A-League games under their belt, more championship medals in their trophy cabinet, and more iconic looks than Ryan. However, not for long. In this podcast, the Sydney FC defender explains why he's decided to cut his mullet and how he's using the opportunity to raise money for a noble cause. Ryan also talks through the exciting A-League season so far, what he's still hoping to achieve with Sydney FC after 13 years at the club, and what Ryan's career could hold in the future. So, without further ado, here's the full chat with Ryan. All right, Ryan, thank you very much for joining us. First of all, we'll talk a little bit about your hair and the World's Greatest Shave campaign in a little bit. But firstly, do you want to give us a bit of an update on how life and football is going for you?
Yeah, everything's going pretty well at the moment, to be honest. Things are going all right at Sydney. We didn't start great the start of the season, as in weren't playing as well as we want. But I think slowly the last couple of weeks we've got back to the Sydney FC that we know we are, and things are starting to get on a bit of a roll. So, yeah, football-wise, it's starting to pick up, which is nice. And general life, everything's pretty good. The weather's been nice, so you can't complain too much.
Certainly has been some great weather in Sydney, that's for sure. In terms of Sydney FC's start of the campaign, maybe just kind of talk us through how you've kind of seen it from your point of view and how you feel you've been playing yourself.
Yeah, like I mentioned, I think we didn't start. Obviously, we had some mixed results, a few wins, and a loss and a draw. But yeah, the last few weeks, like I said, we're starting to pick up and get back to the old Sydney FC. Especially the last couple of years. So that's nice. Personally, I don't think I've been playing at my best, but I think the more games I've played coming into this season, the better I've felt and the better impact I've had in my eyes anyway. I think there's a long way to go, but yeah, just trying to get better every week. And yeah, the team is exactly the same. We're starting to hit our straps, I suppose, and really get into the season. I think playing games more regularly helps that. Yeah, and the same with me personally.
And I guess overall, it's been an interesting A-League season so far. A little bit of a different structure with, you know, a new team coming in, as well as a lot of young Australians getting a chance to really put their best foot forward. What's it been like having, you know, a lot of young guys in Sydney FC as well getting their chance to show what they can do?
Yeah, I think it's great to see. I think, like you mentioned, the whole league has been very exciting the first month and a bit, or however long it's been happening now. I think we're over seven games in, which is good. But yeah, like you said, a few young players at Sydney have come onto the scene and done really well, and yeah, sort of put their name out there. And yeah, the other teams are exactly the same. Like I said, a lot of young Aussie talent, which is great to see in the A-League. I think over the years we're sort of used to seeing some imports come in and sort of light the league up, but definitely the start of this season, it's all been about the young Aussies. And I think leading into the Olympics, I think that's probably the main reason why everyone wants to put their best foot forward and really push their claim for that. And it's making the league very entertaining and a lot of goals.
I was going to ask, has been a few peak A-League moments so far? You know, we saw some in the Western Sydney and MacArthur game, but it also, as you said, there's been some spectacular goals. Is there kind of a couple of moments that have stood out for you? Doesn't have to necessarily be a Sydney FC one.
I think it's sort of vintage A-League with Brisbane doing quite well and the Central Coast Mariners obviously doing very well. I think I was saying to someone yesterday, it's almost like it's 2010 again, back when those clubs were in their prime, which is great to see. I think that's the best thing about the A-League. You sort of see different clubs have good years and sort of go on a few good runs. Yeah, when it comes to season after season. But obviously us at Sydney, we've been pretty successful the last couple of years. So it's nice to see some clubs really stepping up and doing well. And like I mentioned, Brizzy and Central Coast are doing well. Obviously, like I said, we're starting to hit our straps. We've had a few young boys come in and do really well too. So I think it's all, like we spoke about for the last 10 minutes, I think it's all coming together well and putting the A-League in good stead.
So one youngster from Sydney FC who's unfortunately had a bit of a mishap, Chris Zuvella, seems he's going to be facing a stint on the sideline. You're someone who's been through your own trials and tribulations coming back from an ACL injury. Are you able to kind of give an insight into, you know, how difficult an experience that is to come back from and what it did to help build you up as a player, maybe more mentally than anything?
Yeah, I think obviously very heartbreaking. He's done really well to sort of get back to full fitness, just recovering from an ACL I think he did about 2 years ago. So, yeah, it's very unfortunate for him, but at least he knows what he's got in front of him. I think a lot of people talk about that if it's easier the second time come around, which you sort of know what to expect, but at the same time, because you know what to expect, it's quite difficult. But he worked really hard to get back from that, and I think if it is his ACL, I think he'll do exactly the same. He's pretty professional when it comes to looking after himself, so I think he'll be fine coming back from it. But it's very easy to say that when you're in the moment. I think it's obviously very upsetting for him, and it'll be a long road. But I'm sure he'll be okay. But yeah, on a personal level, I think it is tough to come back from a knee injury or any injury, I suppose, when it's a long-term one. It's just one of those things you sort of got to get your head around. And once you get your head around it, you sort of concentrate and you sort of give yourself little goals or milestones to get through it. And they sort of tick you along and help you get to the next one. But I think the biggest thing is you really just miss playing football. And we're quite lucky as professionals. We get to call it our job. But you just miss playing week in, week out. So when you get back to full training, you're really ready to go and raring to get on the field again. So I think it gives you that little bit more love for the game and a bit of appreciation of what you're actually missing out on.
And I guess when you had your injury, did you expect it to be as bad as it was, or were you kind of like, was there any kind of surprises that came along with that, or were you kind of knew what you were in for?
The first time I did my first knee, I think, you sort of don't know exactly what to expect. You know it's a long road. You hear everyone speak about ACLs and how hard it can be to come back from it. So you sort of hear little things here and there, but you don't really know what to expect. And then things sort of, they seem like they drag on a little bit. You think you feel good and you're ready to go, but it's all a process. You might feel great and stuff, but you got to tick little boxes and as you go along. And if you're not there yet, you can't go back to full training, for example. So, it's one of those things you sort of just got to be patient with it. But if you've had injuries in the past or previous injuries, you sort of know what's in store, and you just got to be patient with it. And like I said, when you get your head around it, it becomes a lot easier. But, yeah, initially getting your head around it is probably the hardest thing.
So, I mean, you're someone who's obviously been able to bounce back very strongly from those type of injuries in your career. You've gone from strength to strength, you know, starring for club and country. And overall, you've been, you know, been around Sydney FC in the A-League for more than a decade. But I guess another thing that, besides your performance, that puts you in the forefront of people's minds is your haircut. And I guess the obvious question would be to ask, first, why do you want to cut it now? But thought I might start by asking, why did you decide to grow it in the first place?
I'm not sure. I think I had long hair for a while and sort of enjoyed having the long hair, but at the same time, it didn't look the best. So once I got rid of it, I sort of grew it a little bit back and thought, change it up and cut the sides. And I mean, a mullet, it's become a little bit more, acceptable lately. But a few years ago, it was a little bit different. But in saying that, people have always had mullets, so it wasn't anything outrageous. I just thought I'd grow it. A lot of my mates had it growing up in high school and stuff. and it was always a good laugh. I had a littler one, but not as much length when I was younger. But yeah, I just thought change it up and try something different. But there was no real thought process to it. And yeah, then as I kept it, I enjoyed it. And some people liked it, some people didn't. But it sort of has stuck around for a few years now. So initially it was just one of those things to change it up. I think like any reason anyone has any haircut is they think it looks good or they look good. Whether that's the truth, I'm not sure. But I just think if you enjoy it yourself, then why not?
It's definitely the most important part. And as you said, you've probably had some pretty interesting exchanges with people over the time that you've had it. Sorry to put you on the spot again, but are there any kind of like one or two instances that are kind of really funny exchanges that you can remember having with people, maybe on the street, maybe on social media, maybe in the middle of the game with Dylan Wenzel Halls that, you kind of vividly remember as being pretty funny exchanges?
I think the one with Wenzel Halls, people love to bring that up. Obviously, he gave it a little tug and I wasn't happy about it. I sort of gave him a little shove, but I think that people love to bring that up. So that's obviously one that's I can think of off the top of my head. Other than that, I think they're just the generic crowd involvement where they tell me to get a haircut. They think that's quite original. I think I hear it numerous times every weekend and think people think they're quite funny saying it, but I obviously chose this haircut for a reason. I didn't just get given it and have to wear it or have to sport it. So I'm not quite sure where that that insult comes from, but yeah, that's a constant one. Other ones is older people sort of always say, oh, I used to have that haircut, or my husband used to have that haircut back in the 70s or 80s whenever they rocked it. So yeah, I mean, people, like I said before, people either love it or hate it. People think it's disgusting, other people think it's a good laugh, and I think I don't take myself too seriously. It's just, I think it's a good conversation starter anyway, a good icebreaker. And it gets people engaged, I suppose, whether it's to talk to me or to talk about it. It's just, I think other than that, it makes me a bit more recognisable too. If people sort of tend to recognise me a little bit more maybe when they see it, outside of football. So yeah, it's sort of got me a little bit more, I don't want to say famous, but a little bit more, recognisable.
That's what I was going to ask you next. If you kind of appreciate, how far reaching and like the amount of attention it's been able to bring to the A-League, to Australian football, but also to people outside of football who, potentially been able to come into the fold and actually, be brought in by a haircut, but then actually start enjoying, the A-League. Do you kind of appreciate how much that your haircut's actually done for that?
I'm not sure the extent it actually has done, but I definitely have people that aren't football fans, and I hear from them and say that obviously the mullet drew a little bit of attention to the game, and then they've ended up watching the game or watching me during the game. If it brings any attention to the football, it's always a great thing, especially the A-League. The more people watching it, obviously the better. So if it has brought people to the game, then that's obviously a good thing. I'm not sure if it actually has, but I have been told, like I said, from a few people, even if it's family friends that weren't big football fans, they sort of see it, and it obviously gets brought up every interview I do, the haircut or the mullet. So it sort of gets out to the people, and if they have seen or heard something like that and it's drawn them into watching a game, then it's obviously a great thing.
So the news is that you're going to be cutting it. Are you able to explain why you want to cut it and the reason behind it?
I think I was just ready to cut it. I've had it for a while now, and I've been waiting to cut it for a little bit, been tossing up whether I want to cut it. And I think it's come to the time where I want to get rid of it. Not for any real reason, just like anybody cuts their hair, I suppose. And like we've spoke about, it's been recognised a fair bit over the last few years and got a lot of attention. So I thought If I was ever going to cut it, I'd like to do it for some sort of charity. And Luke Bratton last year obviously did the same thing. He grew his hair out to do the world's greatest shave. It's a foundation that hits close to home for him, with family members, a couple of family members having the disease or having cancer, which is obviously tragic, but he raised a lot of money in doing that. And I thought, with the mullet being quite famous over the last few years, that I'd try and cut it, or I'd cut it and try and raise as much money as I can. And so far so good. We're over $10,000 at the moment. I'm going to cut it on the 18th, so there's still time to donate. So if you could donate, that'd be great. Try and get as much money as possible for a cause that's close to home for so many people.
And you mentioned that Luke Bratton has a connection. He's done the World's Greatest Shave before. Was there kind of a moment where you kind of spoke to him about it, or kind of told him you were going to do it? And if so, what was his, initial reaction to that?
Yeah, when I sort of spoke to the boys about it at training, saying, oh, they're obviously always constantly asking what's doing with the hair. And I said, I think I'm going to cut it, get rid of it. And then obviously Bratsy said, if you're going to cut it, you may as well try and raise some money. And obviously I wanted to do that anyway. And he said that I think he got up to 30 grand. He raised up to 30 grand and he said, surely the mullet can get something close to that. So, it was Bratsy that put me in contact with them. So, a lot of it comes back to him. And like I said, he did it last year. So he's got knows all the people to sort of set it up and go from there. So it was a pretty easy process. They're very helpful there and set it all up. And all I have to do is cut it in the end. So, it was Bratz. Thanks to Bratz for doing that. And obviously he's raised a lot of money. So if I can get anywhere close to that, I'll be very happy, as I'm sure the foundation will be.
So to move on from your hair, but obviously, hopefully people are going to donate as much money as possible because it is for an awesome cause. But I guess just talking a little bit more on the football, you've won 3 A-League grand finals, Joe Marston medal, broken through with the Socceroos, established yourself. At this point in your career, have you kind of set yourself any other goals that you really, really want to achieve, whether that might be, playing at a World Cup or winning another A-League grand final?
I think if we could do 3 in a row this year, I'm pretty sure in saying that hasn't been done before, 3 grand finals in a row. So that's obviously a massive motivation for myself and for the team and the club at Sydney FC. I think that'd be unreal to do that. To play the World Cup would be huge. I'm not sure what the goal is with COVID and going forward with all that. Obviously the games we missed out on a lot of qualifiers last year, but if that was to happen in 2022, I'd love to be part of that. I know that's a long way away, but it'd be awesome to be part of that. That's obviously a goal, but we'll have to sort of play that by ear, how it works out. But other than that, just play as long as I can and enjoy it as long as I can. Sort of getting to the age where you sort of appreciate it a little bit and you want to play as long as you can and play at the highest level and test yourself. And I think that's where I'm at the moment.
I guess another question you must get asked all the time is in relation to, you've spent 10 years at Sydney FC, achieved almost everything that you could. Is playing overseas still a goal for you, or is that something that you want to do?
Yeah, I think I'd definitely be very open to playing overseas. I think, like you said, I've been at Sydney, I think, 13 years now, played in the A-League for 13 years. So if something was to come up and I saw it as a challenge, somewhere to test myself and to experience something different and maybe a new culture, that would be unreal. It's definitely something I'd be very open to doing and would love to do. But in saying that, if that wasn't to come up, I'm still very happy playing in the A-League. I think it just comes down to playing at the highest level I can and testing myself and finding new challenges. And if that is to be overseas, then that would be unreal. If it's not, then I can definitely still find that in the A-League and playing in Australia.
And you obviously get a bit of a taste of that when you travel with the Socceroos. So I guess, you know, you've been with the Socceroos for a couple of years now, but I guess looking back at what you've been able to achieve, being one of the only players to play every single game in 2019. What's the journey been like so far? How have you enjoyed it?
Yeah, I've obviously loved it. First and foremost, it's always great playing for your country. And I think that's the biggest honour. Well, in my eyes, it is representing your country. And I'm stoked just to play one game for Australia. So to play a handful now and be a part of the setup is awesome. Obviously, we get to travel all around Asia and in different parts of the world, which is also a very cool thing. And even though we're there for a job and to play football, you get to see some things you wouldn't usually get to see. So very lucky to be able to do that. Just being part of a really high quality team and getting to train with some players that I wouldn't usually get to and to meet some new people is really cool also. So overall it's unreal. I love going away to Socceroos when I can, and it's always good fun, and I think it makes you a better player, and you get to experience some new things. So it's awesome.
And you obviously played under Graham Arnold when he was coaching Sydney FC. So in terms of, you know, being coached by him at Sydney FC and then going to Socceroos, has he kind of been able to bring across a similar type of culture? And, you know, how would you kind of describe the culture in Socceroos camp?
Yeah, I think definitely. I think Arnie's huge on culture. And I think the best thing about Aussies is we all love getting in and sort of being in each other's pocket and having a laugh and getting close together. And I think Arnie's, I can't obviously speak before Arnie's tenure, but since he's been in, it's everyone gets along really well. It's definitely that Australian culture, and it's great. I think he's got people in place there that sort of drive that, and he's got some great senior players that really drive that too. So it's awesome to be a part of, and everyone's a good fella, and it makes it a lot easier. And knowing him and a lot of the staff, it was a pretty easy transition for me to step into the squad and to the side, which obviously I was very thankful for. It made it a lot easier, because going to your first camp or your first game can be pretty nerve-wracking. But, the coaching staff and all the senior players made it quite easy. Obviously since then it's been very good to be part of it, and it's good to see some familiar faces when we do get to go into camp together.
Have you got a favourite Socceroos game that you've played in so far?
It's a great question. I think they've all been great. I've got a horrible football memory, but I think obviously my debut was awesome. It was in Sydney, so I had family and friends there. And obviously the first time you play for Australia, you sort of have to pinch yourself. So I think that was definitely the highlight so far. And I'd probably have to say it's my favourite game.
Just on some of the lads in camp, been asking a couple of the guys this in connection to Valentine's Day. But within the squad, who do you think has the best bromance? And why, if you were just to pick two Socceroos, and if you've got any funny anecdotes that go along with that, then that's a even bigger bonus.
I think Lex and Cruzy are definitely really close. I'd probably say they've got the biggest bromance. I don't have any stories in relation to it, but they always come down to brekkie together. They're always sort of attached at the hip, and they're always laughing together. They're quite funny, especially with each other. So I think they've probably got the biggest bromance.
And obviously yourself and Jimmy Jago probably have a little bit of a friendship or bromance going on as well.
Yeah, me and Jegs get along really well. I think when Gers is in camp too, I sort of get pushed away from Jegs, and Jegs goes with Gers, and then I'm sort of the third wheel trying to tag along. But now we've got a good relationship, and when Gers is there, it's even better.
And last one, mate, just to put football aside a little bit, but I guess when you, I don't know, what for you, you know, makes a happy life for yourself? Is it just a matter of just enjoying every single day, and football is just something that adds to it? Yeah, so I guess looking, yeah, I guess if you kind of thought about, if, you know, in 20 or 30 years, if you look back on your life, what would you kind of call a successful life for yourself?
That's a deep question. I think, yeah, I'm definitely someone that's not football 24/7. I sort of have to get away from the game and enjoy my life outside of football. And I think that's when I'm my best, when playing. I think, yeah, sort of having a good balance and being able to get away from it and have other hobbies and enjoy other things and have a good group of friends around you. I think that's super important. It's obviously everyone's different, but I think that's what's best for me. And yeah, having those different things to do and different hobbies, I think, yeah, really make me appreciate the game or make me sort of push harder when it comes to training and work harder, because I've sort of had my enjoyment, and then when I get to training, it's time to sort of knuckle down and get stuck into it. But in saying that, I love going to training and having a laugh with the boys too. So I think, yeah, I think it's a pretty generic answer and a bit cliche, but I think it's just having a good balance of football and then things outside football.
Sounds great, mate. And I'm sure all the Socceroos fans wish all the best and can't wait to see you back on the pitch and, you know, in the qualifiers in the lead up to the 2022 World Cup, and then hopefully at the World Cup as well.
Thank you very much, mate. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Socceroos podcast with guest Ryan Grant. To learn more about Ryan and other Socceroos, head to socceroos.com.au as well as the social channels for all the latest news and videos on the team. Tune in next time for the Socceroos podcast and let us know on social media if there's plays and questions you want answered. Until then, goodbye.
Matthew Leckie puts Australia into the quarterfinals.
That is a magnificent goal by Auer Mabil.
Oh, Matty Ryan, wow! Keeping it out of the top corner like Superman.